Before we begin this episode, we would like to include some trigger warnings for child abuse, anti-black racism, sex trafficking, and transphobia.
Before we begin, I would like to promote our new Patreon, patreon.com/bitterbrownfems, where you can go and support this podcast by donating anywhere between $1 and $15 a month in exchange for a reward. There's no too little a donation. We appreciate every bit we get. And check out more info at patreon.com/bitterbrownfems. Now let's start the show.
We'll do it live. Okay. We'll do it live. Fuck it. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. Fucking thing sucks.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Bitter Brown Femmes. This is Cassandra.
And this is Ruben. So yeah, we're back.
We're back.
Back at it again, bitch.
It's been a long time, actually.
It has.
Since we recorded, I think the last time we recorded was before the fucking retrograde. Yeah. And that shit just fucked me up. Like, we couldn't even record during the retrograde. I couldn't do anything, to be honest. And now it's over. So, me and Ruben didn't even talk for, like, a month, it
feels. No, we didn't. That was you. I fucking hated you. Oh, my God. She would not text me back. It was so annoying.
Ugh. Everyone tells me that.
Holding you publicly accountable. I, like, had a collection of memes that I was going to send you about how Sagittarius just ghost people. Yeah. But then I, like, was too angry to send them to you.
I do. Everyone tells me that. I never reply. But also, like, I read them. And then when I go to sleep, I think about all of the text messages I never reply to and the emails. And then I fall asleep thinking about all of those messages and people. So I am thinking about you. I reply in my mind. It's just a lot of energy to, like, text and email. But I was thinking of
you. Thank you. Thanks. I feel really seen and appreciated and validated.
But how was... Yeah. Because we're in Taurus season. The last time we talked was the very beginning of Aries season.
Yeah. Fuck. How I hate you so much.
How was Aries season for you?
It was great, actually. I mean, I should have listened to my astrologer a little more and, like, not spent, like, money. Because now I'm broke. But I went to see Jennifer Lopez in Las Vegas at the beginning of Aries season. Well, no, like in the middle of Aries season. And then I went to Chicago for a gig. And I met a lot of dope people. And it was so great. Like, I stayed in, like, the Latinx area. And, like, it was so good to see, like, so many, like, Latinxes, and everybody just... It was just such a happy area. I don't know. I really like Chicago. And what else has happened? Aries. Oh, of course, Cardi B blessed me with the only thing I'm listening to right now. Her album, Invasion of Privacy. Yeah. So that's my Aries season, in a nutshell. How's yours?
I don't know. I was angry. Yeah. And I was... just wanting to fight, I guess. I was just, like, in a weird mood. It was weird. Like, I don't even know how to describe it. Like, it was weird, though, because I felt like I was busy. Like, I went to LA, like, twice in, like, the span of, like, a week, and that was a lot. But on top, like, I don't know, but even then, I don't know, my mood was just, it was just me, my mood. I was just, like, I don't want to talk to anybody. And just, like, in my feelings, but also mad. But overall, it was okay, I guess. I don't know. I don't know how to describe it. I don't know how to describe Aries season, to be honest. But I survived. That's all that matters. And the only thing that got me through that was Drake. Drake's new song that everyone, I'm sure, has heard. Nice for What? He blessed us. Can you believe he blessed us with that song? And I was just like, wow, I need it. Yes, thank you, Drake. Like, I really needed this right now, and that's all I listened to. And so, like, it helped me. So thank you, Drake. Also, I was dealing with, like, not maybe dealing one-on-one, but it was just, like, A lot of men showed their asses. Well, like they always do, right? But like even more so during Aries season for some reason. So it made me even more angry because my Mars is in Aries, so it was like amplified. And yeah, so men were just shit during Aries season more than usual, and that made me angrier.
Yeah, I mean, plus it didn't help that like you posted that pic of you like giving your talk on like toxic masculinities with the background of men are trash.
Yeah. Even when I did that, I don't know if you don't follow my personal account. I was going to post on Chicanisma, but I was like, to be honest, it's going to be removed in like 1 second because every time I post something about men on Chicanisma, like it gets removed, or like if it's on Facebook, I get banned. So I posted on my personal one, but I did a talk at USC and I had Men Are Trash in the background, right? In the projector. And even while I was doing the talk, like I felt... It's weird because I felt like scared because like men are scary, right? I don't know if some guy's gonna like walk by and see that and like be angry and like go in there and be violent, which is exactly what I was talking about. But anyway, I posted a picture of it and then it led to this person yelling at me at a bar about it and like saying how he's not trash, and it turned into like this thing. But anyway, in conclusion, let's not even go there. Men are just trash. Also, before I forget, I am not a Ted Cruz supporter, okay? Because on our last episode, we were talking about voting in Texas and Beto O'Rourke, who's running against Ted Cruz. And then you need to hear the episode if you haven't, but I made a joke about how, like, I was going to support Ted Cruz because we're both Latinx, you know, because he's a white Latinx, blah, blah, blah. And there were some people on Instagram who were, like, asking me, like, how could I support Ted Cruz? And I was really confused because why would I support him? Yeah. Like, I was just kind of like, what? Like... I would never in my whole fucking life support fucking Ted Cruz. Yeah. Like, I'm offended that you would assume that.
I was having an out-of-body experience, like, reading that. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. I don't know. But no, I do not support Ted Cruz. I just had to clarify that. Yeah. I did have a picture on Facebook. Ted Cruz was my profile picture for a while during election season because it was like this picture of him, like, I don't know, speaking, but it looks like he's crying, and it had like My Chemical Romance lyrics, and it was like the best thing. But then I had to take it off because people thought I was like a troll. But it's just funny.
Yeah.
It's just fun to make fun of Ted Cruz though because he's so like ugly and like dorky and like awkward. I mean, he's a piece of shit. He's like racist and like sexist and all of that stuff, but on top of that he's just so like awkward.
he's the Zodiac killer too, right?
Zodiac killer, yeah. And then those memes of Ted Cruz where he's like Kevin from The Office, those are like the best ones. I don't know, it's just fun to make fun of him.
That's that mofo who liked porn on Twitter, huh?
Yes, that was him. See, remember he's just when we dragged him?
Yes. Why people are weird? Why are people weird thinking we're gonna vote for Ted Cruz? What the fuck?
Yeah, no, never, ever in my life. What else has happened? Oh, you know what's like the big thing? One of the things that happened. Starbucks.
Right? Yes, fuck Starbucks. Oh my god! Like, good thing that I like. Make my own coffee now, but back in the day, like, I used to drink Starbucks like by the fucking gallon because I used to work across the street from it.
I used to work at Starbucks.
Shut up. Yeah, we've mentioned this.
And I was gonna reapply, and I wish that I would have reapplied so I can be a part of this training just to see what is said and what no más para ver. But for those that don't know what we're talking about, so I think now it's been like a week and a half ago. Two black men, I think it was in Philadelphia, were at a Starbucks. They were waiting for their friend to get there. The manager from Starbucks called the cops on them because they quote unquote were not buying anything, or to be honest, I don't even know what she said, like what the reason was. But the cops got there and they pretty much arrested them for fucking nothing. Like, I worked at Starbucks and, like, honestly, like, if you're, I don't even understand that. Like, I worked at Starbucks and if I saw somebody sitting there, like, I would not be like, you need to buy something. I would never say that. But second of all, like, why the fuck would I call the cops? On anybody, period. But it's obviously we know why, because they're black. But it just, are you fucking kidding me? And it's Starbucks. Like, everyone hangs out at Starbucks. Like, it's, I don't know.
Yeah, it was infuriating to see. They also didn't fire the dude. He, like, left on his own accord. And it's infuriating to see, like, what they're doing, right? Like, they're doing this, like, racial bias training or whatever. But, like, as someone who used to do, like, LGBT sensitivity trainings for people, I used to, like, literally teach those. I know that, like, one training, right, it's not gonna do it for people. Like, if people are gonna be being the same fucking bigoted pieces of shit, right? So all this is just, like, they're just doing it for show. Plus, they hired, the company they hired to do this thing is actually, like, invested in, like, Israel in some weird way. So, like, they literally hired, like, Zionists, right, to teach them about, like, sensitivity, which was, like, upsetting to see.
Which is, like, for what? What, like, I also think it's just fucking, like, it's 2018 and people need on-the-job fucking training on how not to be, like, fucking anti-black pieces of shit is, like, the thing that gets to me. Like, you, at your fucking job, need some fucking 101 fucking race training, like, to not call the cops on, like, black people who are existing. Like, I don't, what the fuck is that? I just, it's sad. It's sad. It's ugly. But also, the training thing is so, also, like, yeah, first of all, it's not, if we are going to do that, if you're going to do that, it should be periodically. It's not going to happen in one fucking training. But also, who is giving that training? And, like, for me, I feel like you should give that space to black people, to black organizers, to black activists who do that work and who are going to be able to, you know, because, like, even at regular jobs, you know, you have, like, the sexual harassment orientation training and it's, like, very, like, basic. It doesn't really, it's like a mandatory thing everyone has to do. I've never had a race training at any of my jobs. Like, have you?
I mean, yes, but I actually, like, I've worked in, like, I used to work in, like, social justice spacey-ish things, right? So yeah. That's why we had it.
Well, that makes sense, but I'm talking about,
not for, like, corporate.
Yeah, like, for corporate, yeah, no, like, regular jobs.
No,
like,
no, they were horribly racist. Like, I used to work for Gap. And, oh, God, that they were horribly racist. It was almost like...
Yeah.
Like, the staff, like, almost, like, specifically, like, racially profiled people. Like, it was fucking ridiculous. Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe...
So they needed a racial bias training.
Maybe everyone needs that in, like, jobs and schools. Yeah. That should be, like, a thing, apparently.
Schools, oh, my God. Yeah, schools fucking need one. Teachers need one, right? You know, statistics show that, like, teachers, like, consider, like, you know, black kids to be, like, more, you know, bothersome, right? And, you know, kids of color overall have higher suspension rates than, you know, white kids. So, yeah, racial bias trainings consistently should be, you know, made available to teachers.
Yeah, and I always say that about white teachers and people get all... What do you mean white teachers can't teach children of color? I'm like, I said what I said. Like, I always see these fucking awful fucking stories of white teachers doing or saying really racist shit to black children primarily, but also to to Latinx students, to disabled students, like, and, like, also, like, not non-white teachers can be ableist, of course, but it's primarily, like, white teachers that I see doing all this shit. And I'm just like... Yeah. And then none of them lose their job. Also. Nope. And I'm just like, why would we want these people teaching our kids? Like, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like this like lie of like white, you know, objectivity, right? They can teach, you know, they can totally like they don't see that, like, you know, the white people's like inherent bias, right, is at play when they teach students, right? Luckily, like, I went to, you know, my school was like 90%+ Latinx, and our staffing reflected that, like our teachers. There was a whole other slew of problems, but I remember this one time, like, one of my only white teachers, I called her weird. Like, I literally said, like, "You're weird, miss." I forgot her name. And she started crying, and she kicked me out of the room. Because I called her weird.
Oh, just so dramatic. Yeah. White women are so dramatic.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I'm trying to think of experiences that I've had with white. I had a white teacher when I think I was a sophomore, a freshman maybe, in high school. Yeah. And I don't know. I was talking to a friend. He was actually a childhood friend of mine. Everyone was talking, and me and him were talking, and then she was like, "You know, everyone go back to your seats." But, you know, everyone was like rowdy. And then finally, everyone went back to their seats and shut up. And then for some reason, she like was like, "Cassandra, if you and Carlos want to fuck each other in front of the whole class, then be my guest." And I was like, "What?" Like, I think I was like, I was just like in shock that she said that to me, and then that she said it in front of everybody. And I was like super upset, and I like walked out of the class, and I wanted my friend Carlos to walk out with me, but he was like very shy and like, I think, scared. And so like, I didn't know what to do. Like, I walked out 'cause I was pissed, but I also was a freshman and I didn't know, like, I don't know. And so that was on a Friday, and I remember like on Monday I didn't go to her class 'cause I was still like upset about it. And then I had mentioned it to my grandma. And my grandma was really upset, so she went to the principal's office, like, to be like, "What the fuck?" And she went with my mom and everything, and the principal pretty much was like, "Oh, well, we can't change you to another class because you're going to have to learn to like, deal with difficult people that you don't like in the future." And, like, they never did anything to that lady, and I had to sit in her class, and, like, she was, like, a Republican. She voted for Bush. She would say all this, like, she was just, like, the worst. But it was just, like, when I think about that, like, it makes me very upset. But, you know, I was, like, 15 years old, so I didn't know any, like, power dynamics in reference to, like, what she... Because she wouldn't say that to some fucking white girl. Like, get the fuck out of here. But, anyway, white teachers are the worst. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Don't give a fuck.
Damn, you were really put through the ringer. I was like not expecting that much involvement. This one time it was funny. I mean, we were kind of horrible kids. Like, we made our white teacher cry by calling her racist.
I support that movement.
So it was like, she was my English teacher sophomore and junior year, and I don't know why, but I think the kids started chanting, like, "Miss, I forgot her name, is a racist." And it's like, "Racist, racist." And then,
oh my God,
she just started crying, like this old, like, you know, abuelita looking ass gringa, right? And then so the next day we got her a cake that said, "We're sorry, miss. I forgot her name." I
think, but why were you saying she was racist? You were just bored or what?
Literally, yes. Literally, yes. Like, we were so fucking rowdy. It was the worst. We were bad kids in that instance.
That's funny though. What was fun? I also sorry, I just thought of it. I mentioned that I went to LA. I also went to UCLA, and it was really exciting. Because I got to, it was like this event for newly admitted students that were going to be at UCLA. Yeah. So they were high school students, right? So I was really excited about being able to, I don't know, like, talk to high school students, because I want to be a high school teacher. And they were really cool, and I think they liked me.
Chicanisma, she's so cool and conscious. I want to be like her when I grow up.
At first, I was like, they're probably like, "Who the fuck is this bitch?" It was really different, like, being in, like, a space where I'm talking to, like, people who have no idea who the fuck I am, right? Because they were just like, I feel like maybe two of them followed me, but the majority of them were like, I don't know who this person is, right? Versus when I do other talks, when like people know who I am. But anyway, it was really cool because I went to be a high school teacher, and I was also thinking when I was in high school and I discovered feminism and I wanted to start this feminist club at my school, and everyone made like this really, really big deal about it. Like it really was like all the teachers were talking about it and all the students, and we had this thing called like Rocket Vision, and it was like, you know, when you do like your own news channel, like stories about the school, and they would air it every Friday. Like you had like little reporters, you know what I mean? And so they were doing a story and they were going around asking everyone like, what do they think of feminism? Like it was this really big thing. Like they wrote about it like in a newspaper, and all the teachers just like made me feel like I was like some typical, like stereotypical, like man hating, I'm too young to understand feminism thing. And then they told me that I could, that I had, if I made a group, I had to let boys in. It was just like really awful because I was like, you know, I'm just trying to start like a girls group, like to, I don't know, like to, you know, like a support group, like a chill like thing. And they made it into like this very like dramatic fucking thing. Like I was trying to rile up everyone to be, to hate men. I don't know. It was weird. But I feel like a lot of adults do that to teenagers. And I don't know. I was just reminded of that, that they all did that, and made me feel like I didn't know anything at that time. But then, like, now I'm being able to, like, talk to actual high school students, you know? But anyway.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Miss Wiggs.
Wow. She's been holding
I hope you're
in.
Listening.
You know, Boy Vejita, she's like, tells all her, like, her friends, you know, one of my students is, has, you know, this great, you know, radio program, and I learn a lot about social justice. And she tunes in, and the first thing she hears, fuck you, miss, whatever.
Anyway, that was just a story I wanted to tell. But anyway, what else happened? What else happened during air season? Oh, you know what happened? Beyonce.
What?
Beyonce.
Yo, I was in Chicago when it was happening. So it was like 1 a.m., her Coachella performance. And I literally, I busted out my phone in the club and I was like watching Beyonce at the club. I had met a friend at this leather bar, and then they want to go do some business at the leather bar. And I was just like watching the stream on YouTube. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to go. Like, you're out there getting your cakes pounded, and I want to see Beyonce in peace. So I ordered a Lyft, and the Lyft took me to the place where I was staying. But the lady, she was like, because I was still watching it on the Lyft, she was like, here, let me pull over and, like, let me watch it with you. And so I stayed there watching Beyonce with my Lyft driver, like, outside of my, of where I was staying with my friend Jade. So that was cute.
Yeah, actually, yeah, I saw it the day after, like, when it was uploaded on Facebook, and I'm not, like, a big Beyonce stan like everybody else, but she obviously is, like, one of the, or probably the best performer alive, and, like, even if you don't like Beyonce, like, you can't deny that, and if you deny that, you're probably anti-black, and that is a fucking fact, because people that are, like, oh, Beyonce, like, I hate her, or, like, just anything about Beyonce, like, I'm like, first of all, check your fucking self, because she gets so much hate for no fucking reason. Like, she just does her shit, and she doesn't even have, like, a big media presence, like, for people to be like, oh, she did this, or she did that. Like, she just comes out and, like, performs and does her best and goes back with her family, like.
Yeah.
Like, you're just mad that, like, she's, like, one of the most powerful entertainers, and she's black. She's a black woman.
Yeah.
And I feel like that bothers people, and it really does. And even if you say, like, it doesn't, deep down, you need to check yourself.
Yeah. I mean, when she announced her pregnancy, like, all these white women were, like, writing essays about how, like, her pregnancy announcement was, like, triggering to them or some shit, right? It's so annoying.
Anytime she does anything, every time she like does literally anything, white women, white feminists have like these like 10 think pieces in an hour about why Beyonce fucked up. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, can't you write about fucking Madonna? Her, she's so fucking messy. You have so much shit to write on Madonna or Shania Twain. Tell us
Shania
about
Shania Twain. I'm so heartbroken. Shania Twain.
What did she do? Tell us what she did.
Okay, so apparently The Guardian, she did an interview for The Guardian because she's promoting her new album, right? And, well, she hasn't recorded in, like, 13 years because she was heartbroken and couldn't muster up the energy to write music.
Dramatic.
And so...
So dramatic.
Yeah! Well, I mean, come on. Her husband cheated on her with her best friend.
I feel like 13 years, like, come on. That's a little excessive. Like, Shania... You're fucking Shania. Like, you have money. Are you going to be sad over some accountant for 13 years, girl? I don't buy it.
Like, he fucked her best friend, homie.
Okay, but that happens That happens a lot.
To whom?
That happened to one of my friends. I can't say her name because she listens and I don't want to put her on the spot. But this bitch, if she was tripping for 13 years, I'd be like, girl, what the fuck? Like, I'm not saying it's not sad. It's sad. Obviously, it's fucked up. Cheating. Like, being cheated on with your best friend, with anyone, is fucked up. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, like, 13 years, though? 13 years?
15, actually. I stand corrected. 15 years? 15.
You were sad for fucking 15 years? I need to see this guy.
You know, maybe it's about the trust that was lost, Cassandra. Goodbye. Right?
I don't know.
And so, anyway, so she couldn't... like perform or whatever or like sing. She lost her voice. What?
I'm sorry. Okay, it's not funny. I feel bad. Okay, that's sad.
Anyway, so she's finally able to sing and she gets interviewed and they ask her Canadian ass about Trump, and her bitch ass says like, oh, I think if I was American I would have voted for him, right? And that's supposedly
that's why she got cheated on.
Bad.
What? For that fucking response.
You know, according to her, okay, then she went on Twitter and she did a thread and she was like, essentially that, like, she doesn't support Trump, she clarified. She said, as a Canadian, I regret answering this unexpected question without giving my response more context, right? She's passionately against discrimination, blah, blah. She said that she was trying to explain that, she would have been swayed as if she was a regular person, she would have been swayed by like Trump's rhetoric or whatever. And that she regrets answering it because she obviously doesn't support him, Trump. No, white women just be fucking up all the time. That's why I can't. I just need Carly Rae Jepsen to never tweet. And I need Britney to never tweet anything problematic either. I don't need them to be so. Although Britney did both for Bush in 2000.
Yeah, let's not talk about Britney, though. No, but it's like, she's like, I didn't expect that question. But I feel like if you're saying, bitch, that you voted, that's not like some random ass question. That's a very simple ass question. You know what I mean? For Shania to be like, oh, I was taken off guard. I didn't understand the question or whatever. Like, okay, it's a fucking simple question. Would you vote for Trump? Yes or no? Like, that's all. But anyway, I'm like, you're Canadian, your opinion is not even valid anyway, and you got cheated on, and you were sad for 13 years, so bye. And your album probably sucks. So
probably, TBH.
Yeah, I feel that way too. Like, when you go on Twitter and you start following all these celebrities that you like, you're like, wow, please don't tweet. Like, I'm like, please don't ever tag me in anything Jenny Lewis says, because I know that bitch is a white feminist, but I'm like...
She's such a white feminist!
I don't see it. I don't read it. Like, I hate when people do that. Like, when your fave fucks up and everyone, like, tags you, I'm like, I know, bitch, I know. Like, you don't have to fucking tag me in everything they do.
Yeah, I remember when Cardi had fucked up. Everybody was tagging me all over the place, and I'm like, fuck, I see this, I know this, she's problematic, like, she's hurtful, god damn it.
That's why we can't tell people who we like.
TBH, I stopped talking about music online.
Even though that's how we do on the podcast.
TBH. Yeah.
They're going to be like, one day you played this on one of your episodes, and this person said this. I'd be like, oh, okay, well, I can't edit that song out, so sorry.
They're like, My Chemical Romance is racist.
They're not. Okay, Gerard Way tweeted Black Lives Matter. Aye, aye, the minimum. Yeah. But he did, okay? He didn't say All Lives Matter.
Yeah. Mariah Carey cannot be problematic. And she came out, you know, she revealed that she's living with bipolar. She has bipolar. She's bipolar.
Yes.
That's how you say it.
Yes, I saw that.
So that was really brave of her.
Yes, I love that. Not that she... Not because of that, but that she...
that she's bipolar?
No, that she, like, that she came out and she told her story and, like...
Yeah.
I thought that was awesome, coming from Mariah. And also because a lot of people also... With a lot of female celebrities, people, like, we were talking about, like, the stigma of, like, mental health, particularly with women celebrities, so...
Yeah.
So thank you, Mariah, for sharing your story. Yeah,
shout out to Mariah. She's so brave. For real, though. Because, like, remember in the glitter era? Like, people were fucking... They would drag her through the fucking mud, right? So I cannot imagine, like, how she must have felt, like, how she had to, you know, to live in the shame, right? Of, like, because of, you know, the stigma around mental illness, right? And how she had to wait so long, right? It was sad.
Yeah, so another story, though, that has been... that I've been talking a lot about and have been following is the story of Devontae Hart. And I don't know... And like I said, if you follow me on Chicanisma, or even if you don't, it's... I mean, actually, I don't think it's gotten that much media as it should. So Devontae Hart is... Back in, I believe this was 2014, it was around Ferguson, Mike Brown, when Mike Brown got killed by, what was his name, Darren Wilson? Anyway, so there was a photo going around of this little black boy hugging a white cop at one of the protests, and he was crying, and it was like this big... iconic photo that everybody shared that was supposed to be like, can we all just get along? You know, and I remember when that photo was circulating, it just really bothered me. Like, I hated that photo. I was like, this is ugly. And like, why is he crying? He's crying because he's scared, right? Like, in that context, like, I didn't obviously don't know this kid, but in that moment, I was like, he's crying because he's scared of what's happening, of being black in this country, right? And like, everyone's sharing it like it's some fucking feel good photo. So I never shared that photo. So about a month ago, it turns out the first news that I saw was just like, oh, this little boy from this iconic photo, whose name is Devontae Hart, was killed in a car crash with his family. So it was like it was just, you know, when you see that, you're like, oh, like, that's really sad, you know, that there was like a car accident with his family, and like, that's sad. But then as, you know, as more details started coming out, we just got an insight to like his life prior to the car crash, and it's really ugly. And so Devontae and his siblings got adopted by two white women. They were a couple. Jennifer Hart and Sarah Hart, I believe. And so they adopted Devontae and his two siblings, and then they adopted also this other pair of siblings. So there were six children in total, and they adopted them, and they would take them. They were like popular because they would go to like there were liberals, and they would go to protest, and Devontae would go to all the protests with the sign that said free hugs. And so everyone would hug him and take pictures with him. And that's where that photo came from, like that cop photo. So anyway, it turns out that these women were abusing these children. And there was just a lot of reports, a lot of documentation of these women's abuse and how they moved from state to state. And even in every state that they moved to, like, they had like some kind of incident with the children, and it got to the point where they homeschooled them, because that's where one of the little girls you know, had mentioned to the teacher, like the teacher saw bruises on her, and it opened up that file, right, for CPS. But in any case, and then there was also like the neighbors who lived next to them who said that the kids would always go and like ask for food and tell them that they were like that they were scared or that they were being abused, but like the neighbors were the ones who might have called CPS on them. And so that's when CPS went to their house to look for them, and a few days later they ended up, you know, quote unquote, in this car crash, which was obviously not a car crash, but that's what the news sources were reporting, that it was an accident. So then it turns out that Jennifer Hart, who was driving the car, was drunk at the time that she drove the car over, and that the other, I guess the partner, Sarah, and the other children had all like a good amount of Benadryl in them. So like this was all obviously planned, that they wanted to do this. But anyway, like it's a really awful story. It's really sad, and all of this didn't come out at once. It's been like I've been following the story with like new details, but like the thing that is like the most fucked up about this whole story is that everyone is defending these white women and their actions. So when it first happened, there was just like all of these white women and like white people on Facebook who were literally writing essays about how amazing these women were, and they were the family that they wanted to be, and that the news sources were lying. Like there were some of them that were even saying that they were being, that the cops were lying, that the cops were trying to frame them somehow. Like they were just saying all of this shit instead of saying like, wow, our quote unquote friends were pieces of shit, because obviously these people are just like them. And I hope that they're never near any fucking black children or have any black children of their own. But it's also, I don't know, this story was just, it's a lot to unpack, because it's not just child abuse. It's like racism. It's white saviorism. It's liberalism. And how these women were, quote unquote, doing, or like anti-racist. Like they adopted black children just so that they can go around saying that they're not racist, when they adopted black children only to abuse them and then later kill them and like use them as props. Like there was this other video that I also found on YouTube. Like I've been really invested in the story, and that's what happened. Like with me, like I know I've mentioned before, like I'm really invested, I don't know if that's a word, but like in children and teenagers. And whenever I see cases of child abuse, like sometimes like I have to remove myself because I get really invested in it. Like I want to know everything about it, even though it's like really ugly. And sometimes like I read the most disturbing child abuse stories that like I trigger myself, or like I can't stop thinking about it, or like, so like I that's why I don't really share them on Chicanisma. But if I did share child abuse stories, like there would be just so many, because I feel like people don't support child abuse, or they're like, yeah, child abuse is not okay, but there's just a lot of it, and a lot of it has to do with like how we don't really care about children and we don't actually protect them in this country. But anyway, going back, I was looking up YouTube videos of their family, or like of Devante Hart, and there was just one video that really disturbed me, and it was like at this hippie fest. I don't know, it was like this white guy with dreads. He's a musician, I guess, and he has dreads, and he was like doing this hippie song. And then at one point of the video, Devante Hart like goes up there, like someone like makes him go up there and like hugs this like white guy with like the dreads, and like he's like crying, and it just looks really staged, and it looks like that photo of the cop. And it's like ugly. Like they just use their children, like they just made them go to all these fucking white liberal spaces just to use them and make them do all of these things when they were like hurting and they didn't want to do that.
No, you're right. Everything you said was right. I think there is so many things at play. I was talking earlier, right, how, like, you know, youth of color, specifically black, you know, youth is seen as, like, rowdy by teachers, right? And they're not, you know, they're suspended at greater rates. And this also plays, and this, so this is, like, not only, like, a school issue. Like, this problem exists at school because it's a societal issue, right? We don't prioritize youth, right? We don't listen to them. You mentioned that, like, you know, one of them repeatedly went to their neighbor's house to, like, ask for food and stuff, right? And how was that not, like, immediately reported, right? How was that not, how was this not a greater concern, right? And the thing is that, like, they probably thought the kid was lying or something, right? Or they minimized their pain, right? They didn't believe that they were suffering, right? Because at the end of the day, a lot of times adults are like, you know, you're a child, or like, how could you actually be suffering, right? And so we, like, unsee, like, these complex emotions, right? And these problems that stare us in the face, right? When we talk to youth, right?
Yeah. And also with that is that I also read another follow-up to that, that, because, you know, their friends, their shitty friends that were online defending them were obviously racist themselves, but a lot of the narratives that they were saying was like, oh, well, they saved them from, like, these rough beginnings, right? Like, they had a rough childhood, and then people were like, well, you know, the mom, the original mom, like, their biological mom abandoned them, and so, like, these women saved them, right? And so anyway, so there was, like, this talk of, like, where, for example, were the biological parents, right? Not that it matters, not that it affects, like, what they went through or what those women did, but it turns out that so the paternal aunt of Devante and his siblings had custody of them, and she wanted to adopt them, and she, like, was here in Texas, I think it was Houston, that's where they're from. She bought, like, a bigger house, like, she had the ability and the financial, like, she was able to take care of them, and they took them away from her because one of the conditions was that they were not allowed near their biological mother. And there was, like, this one point where the aunt wasn't home and the mom went unexpectedly and saw the children. And, like, in that 15-minute span, like, the service worker, the social worker went, happened to be there. And so she saw that the mom was there. And so they immediately removed the children from the home, right? And the aunt tried really hard still to, like, fight for them to get them back. And these women adopted them. And there was also this other question of why they were, these women who were not even from the state, like, they weren't even from Texas, were allowed to come to Texas and adopt them out of state. But anyway, it was just like, it's another thing of, like, that white women, white people, but particularly white women are seen as these, like, nurturing, innocent caretakers who can do no wrong. But when it comes to black women and women of color, indigenous women, like, we get our children taken away for anything, right? Like, for literally anything. There's, like, an article that I've shared before, and it's called, I don't know what the term is for it, but there's a lot of stories of, like, black women sharing, like, their children getting taken away as, like, a punishment, right, from the state, and, like, how hard it is to get them back. And it's mostly for being poor. It's mostly for just being black, and how we're seen as incapable of being good mothers. But yet these white women had, like, cases against them. And that they actually admitted to themselves, like, they were found guilty of abusing one of the girls, and they were still able to adopt, like, 6 kids, and they were still able to move to, like, different states, right? And, like, this black woman who was, like, their actual family got them taken away for, like, one little thing that she did wrong.
Yeah, and it's not like it's a new thing, like, right? This has a historical precedence in the U.S., right? So people who, you know, slave owners, they made it a point to separate families, right? Because they didn't want anyone building, you know, strong bonds. And they didn't want black families, right? So that they wouldn't build communities, right? And then, you know, we look at, you know, they also attacked indigenous families, right? And separated them so that they also couldn't, conceptualize or, like, maintain a family unit, right? And this is as recent as, like, the 1960s. When there was like a big sweep of indigenous children from indigenous households, right, who were separated and taken to cities to be educated, quote unquote, right, educated. But a lot of that education, right, quote unquote education, was invested in having these kids unlearn their own culture, right, and invested in like seeing indigenous women as quote unquote savage, right, and people incapable of raising their own kids. So this type of violence against families of color and black families and indigenous families is not new, and it is a part of the fabric of the U.S. Right?
Yeah, and it's still being played out today. Maybe it doesn't look like that, but it is, like you said, it is. And there was an article that I shared actually last year that's called Foster Care as Punishment, The New Reality of Jane Crow, and we'll share that, because when I read that about how they took the kids away from the aunt, I just thought of this article, and it's about how, like I said, like the state criminalizes black women, indigenous women, women of color, and takes their kids away for any reason and puts them in foster care, and then we, like women, have to jump through these hoops to get them back. To live up to these expectations that white families, that white women are not asked to do, right? Because, like I said, these women had a history of child abuse, and these kids were never taken away from them. Like, why is that? If that was a black mother, that they would have been taken away immediately, right? And eventually, like, these kids could have been saved, but because these white women were seen as our white saviors, and they were so good for taking these kids in, these women themselves ended up killing these children, because that was not an accident, right? It was reported that Jennifer Hart was drunk when she purposely drove the car over, and the kids and the other white woman all had levels of Benadryl in them. So it was all intentional, right? Like, not that we didn't know that, but it's been officially confirmed, and their friends are still online trying to, you know, save their reputation about how amazing they were.
Yeah, and that's so infuriating. And it's like the way that, like, liberalism, like, and, like, subscribing to liberal politics, a lot of people take that as, like, a sign of character, when it's, like, it's really not. Like, you can absolutely be a liberal and be a fucked up person. Right, you can, and it's not even only, it's like you can be a progressive person. You can be a communist, an anarchist, and a leftist, and still be a fucked up person, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. It's everyone, right? It's not like just because you identify it one way politically excuses you from all of these things, right? You can still do all of these things. And but, you know, obviously the reason we're talking about liberalism is because liberalism is something that I feel people overlook, or people don't really, or like there's people that still come in Chicanismo when I talk shit about liberalism, for example, they identify as liberals, right? Like they know that they're not Republican or conservative, and that's like they're like, okay, well, I'm not this. So, you know, because in the U.S. there's only like two parties. So they're like, well, I'm a Democrat or I'm a liberal. And they don't understand also like what that means. And that's why I feel like I always try to talk about liberalism, because it is like, it's like hidden. It's like a mask that people wear. And you have to like really unpack it, because with conservatives and Republicans, it's like, they'll tell you your shit, and you know they're racist because they're like outspoken about it, but liberals do it like low key while smiling in your face.
Yeah, and I think one of the most recent examples of that, and I know everyone's gonna get mad because he's like, everyone's like fucking like quote-unquote, like, socialist, like, grandpa is a fucking...
fucking poser.
Yeah, fucking poser. It's fucking Bernie Sanders, right? And I'm not gonna lie, like, I wasn't, like, on that train for a week. He came to speak at my alma mater, and I went to see him, and I was, like, very moved for a week until I saw through his words, and I was like, ah, there's a lot that's not being said here, right? But recently... he posted about Cardi B, right? He was like, I agree with Cardi B, because Cardi B had done this video about how she, like, doesn't know where her taxes are going, right? She's like, y'all taking 40% of my money, like, where the fuck is this going when the hood is still poor and, like, New York is still dirty and old people still don't have money and blah, blah, blah. Like, she was, like, really railing against the U.S., right? She's like... like, she's pretty aware of, like, politics, right? And so she was, like, calling out, like, where the fuck is my taxes going? And Bernie was like, she's right. Social Security should be way more funded. And it was just, like, one of those ways when you, like, just see that, like, you know, liberals are trying to be cool. Like, the way that... did you remember when Hillary Clinton was, like, Pokemon Go to the polls? That was, like, the worst moment of my life.
The worst one was that... the worst one was that Spanish tweet. What did it say? I don't remember. She did a lot. She was really out there on Twitter.
She was doing the most. Hillary Clinton.
When it was like, describe your student loans in one emoji. I was like, really? That's what we're doing right now?
I'm just like, I don't know. There's not like a $40,000 emoji.
Oh my God.
No, my worst thing was she was just like, that she was like, let's get them to Pokemon Go to the polls. And she
I do not so remember that. I don't want
to. Oh my God. Even... it was embedded in my mind. I was so ashamed to play Pokemon Go.
You know, when she came to Texas, she walked out to Selena.
Shut the fuck up. Yeah. What did she play? Bad Liar? Or what other Selena Gomez song is there out there?
Wow, bitch. I'm about to fucking end this call right now.
Yeah, no, and okay, so we bring up Bernie Sanders because like, okay, the bitch is like promoting like Cardi B and how he supports her words and shit, but at the same time he's like signing this bill that like and like promoting this bill that like puts sex workers in danger, right? SESTA, FOSTA, right? So how are you gonna be saying shit like, oh yeah, Cardi B is right, and like she's very proud of the fact that she used to be a stripper, right? One of her things that she says is that like, I was a stripper, but you're still gonna respect me, and you're still gonna respect these girls out here stripping, right? And stripping is a type of sex work, right? You're providing a type of service that involves like sexual stimulation for people, right? And SESTA FOSTA puts them in danger, right? Because now they can't promote their work, right? Now they can't, you know, get clients or get bookings online anymore because SESTA FOSTA prevents them from doing so under the guise that it's protecting sex trafficking victims, right? But the thing is that, like, sex trafficking victims are like, actually, no, this puts them even more in danger because now sex trafficking has to go underground, like, to the nth degree, right? So, SESTA FOSTA, it's, like, functionalities is that, like, there can be nothing online that promotes sex work explicitly, right? Or implicitly, right? So, this has also affected the way, like, banks work, too, right? So, now, for example, Wells Fargo won't allow people who are not Wells Fargo owners to make a cash deposit into a person's account, right? And so that's a way to ensure that they can monitor what transactions are being made, right? And so that they know that there's nothing that's happening that revolves around sex work, right? The biggest fault, though, that SESTA FOSTA did is that it shut down Backpage. Backpage used to be a website that used to help sex workers promote their services, right? Whether it be camming, whether it be like, you know, full service sex work, stripping, right? But taking that down means that sex workers now have to, you know, do street work, right? They have to put themselves out there and put themselves in dangerous positions, right? The function of Backpage was that it helped them filter out people, right? And help them share knowledge about clients, right? Like, this person is abusive, this person doesn't pay, this person is bad, et cetera, right? And it also helped them set their own boundaries, right? What the destruction of sex work, destruction of Backpage did is that it disallowed sex workers from providing boundaries, right? And so it was easy for these politicians to do that when they set it against, you know, the innocent child, you know, being trafficked, right? When in fact, like, a lot of the times, traffickers are caught via these online websites, right? A lot of the times, people were reporting these things like, hey, this person is being trafficked, like, look into them, arrest them, blah, 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 et cetera, right? But without that, right, there's a whole ass dark web that people are now going to be subscribing to, right? They're now going to be using for that. And that's going to make it harder for us to actually save people, right?
Yeah. And I think that I've been seeing some people, you know, post about all of this, but not enough. And I think that's been a problem within feminist, quote-unquote feminist spaces, right? Because there's a lot of, quote-unquote, feminists who are anti-sex work, and they don't know how to differentiate between sex trafficking and sex work. And, I think that they do know how to differentiate. They just choose not to. Because you can, I don't possibly think you could be a feminist and say that you are pro-woman when you can't support women making choices for themselves, and that includes the work that they choose to do. And so the Bernie Sanders thing doesn't surprise me. Like I said, like, everyone jumps on like any bandwagon that they can to be cool. And to get like, oh, Bernie Sanders supports Cardi B. So cool. But also not just Bernie Sanders. Like, one thing that bothers me is that the same people that shit on sex workers or don't respect them want their aesthetic, or, kind of like say those comments like, oh, I'm broke, I'm going to be a stripper. Or you do want like everything that sex workers have, right? A lot of things that we take from sex workers that we don't realize comes from sex workers, or like people that fuck with Cardi B, but then they turn around and like talk shit about actual strippers, or maybe they like Cardi B and they don't fuck with the quote unquote stripper part of her, right? And I don't know, that really bothers me. That like bothers me the shit out of me when I see people say that. Especially, like I said, when it's people that, first of all, you don't actually support sex workers, but also it's not easy. Sex work is not like some fucking, everyone does it as a like last resort. Like, that's not sex work. And a lot of people that say that, like, you wouldn't even be able to do that work, period. Like, it's not some easy fucking job.
It's not easy. It's something that a lot of things people use like really ableist like language around it. They think that like, oh, you have to be, only people who are not smart do sex work. And it's like, no, people want to do sex work, right? People need sex work, right? There's multiple reasons why this happens, and it's like the oldest profession, right? But we stigmatize it because because it's a gendered thing, right?
Yeah, definitely. And it, when you think about it, people that say that sex workers aren't quote-unquote smart are probably smarter than you. Like, because you have to be, like I said, it's not like some easy job. And I know firsthand, because I did used to be a stripper years ago. I don't do that anymore, but that shit was hard. Like, I was probably the worst stripper. And that, not even trying to be funny, like, that shit was hard. Like, it wasn't like you just go up there. When the first time that I danced, like, I was scared out of my mind. Like, I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. I was like, it's fucking hard. Like, I think people just think you're like, oh, I'm gonna be a stripper, and you just go up there and it's like, you just, you know, get all the money. Like, no, it does not work like that. So no, yeah, those comments really fucking bother me. And I don't know, maybe
What's funny to me is people like try to come, I think, at both of us about like our pro sex work stands, and without and they're like, a lot of times they try to be nice and be like, oh, I learned a lot from you, but I don't agree with pro sex work. And it's like, you are learning from sex workers, people, or people who previously did sex work, right? Like, you know, you were a stripper. Like, I, you know, I also used to engage in sex work when I was trying to survive homelessness, right? So it's not, it's something that I talk about more on Twitter, right? Because I think there's more space for that there. But like, if it wasn't for some type of sex work, I would not have been able to survive being kicked out of my home when I came out, right? So it's interesting how we place value on the knowledge and the type of people that that comes from, right?
Exactly. And I see that a lot with Cardi B. I mean, I see it, you know, it's like a general thing with sex workers in general. But, you know, because Cardi B's like the it girl right now, right? And it's either you like her or you don't like her. And the reasons you don't like her is probably because respectability and because she was a stripper, because she's like from the hood and she's proud of that. And they equate it with like, it's anti-black, it's classist, it's all, it's a lot of things, right? But that's what Cardi B, and that's why like her success is amazing. And like, even though I don't listen to her music, like every time like I see I don't listen to her music, I know everyone's like, what the fuck. I don't, but I'm like, I remember like seeing her videos, you know, like before when she like Ho Never Gets Cold, like that era she had, like I was like still rooting for her because I was like,
yeah,
like she's like real about like who she is, like why is that a problem? And it's amazing that she's pregnant. That's like the best. And it's like amazing. It's like people are like, wow, if you act like Cardi B or you're a stripper, like you're never gonna be married. And I'm like, well, guess again, bitch.
Yeah, you know? She's literally gonna get married and like she's literally
be
like,
a mother.
Yeah,
because she wants to be.
I'm so seeing Cardi like being pregnant like on stage. Did you see her performance?
No, but I saw like some clips and photos of it.
Yeah,
of her pregnant and twerking.
Yeah,
which is awesome because you know you can't like you know it's like strippers and motherhood.
Yeah, yeah.
Love it. It's the best.
Yeah. Strippers, like, yeah, like the duality of a person, right? Like, yes. I'm a mother, but like, I'm still super sex positive. I have strippers like dancing behind me, like,
yes,
while I twerk on the floor. That was such a fantastic, that's an important moment in feminism.
I think it is. It very is. And if you don't think so, you can go fuck yourself.
Damn it.
I also don't understand, like, the conversation of, like, why she chose motherhood. Like, why is that any of your fucking business? Yeah. I don't understand that either. This is what I understand about, like, feminists. Like, because it's not just feminists saying these things, but it's like, you're a feminist, but you're like, I don't support your choice of work, and I don't support your choice to motherhood. Like, what the fuck are you, like, what? It makes no goddamn sense.
Yeah, a lot of things don't make sense, right? And I think...
Nothing makes sense.
No, and something I learned from... Supreme B, all she goes from S Dot Scholar on Twitter and Instagram, it's about how like sex work, right, and like the criminalization of sex work affects you know, women of color the most, black women, indigenous women, women of color, and even more trans women, right? Because something that we forget is that like how you can still be fired for being, you know, trans and queer, right? In the majority of states, you know, I think the exact number is 28 states, right? So options are limited for people, right? And so a lot of anti-sex work rhetoric fails to provide resources for people who may not want to do it, right? But that's their only choice, right? And so I think discussions about, like, how sex work is the only choice for people fails to take into account how capitalism leaves us choiceless, right? And racism and trans antagonism and queer antagonism and all these things function to keep us choiceless, right? And so there's bigger conversations that need to be had, right, by, you know, anti-sex worker folks, but they refuse to do it because it unravels a lot of their rhetoric, right? And it shows how limited their range is, right? And there's sex workers who have a choice and who choose to do it because it is a job that is fulfilling for them. And that needs to be respected too, right? And that needs to be, you know, we need to hold all of these truths, right? And that's part of, like, doing this work, right? And, like, trying to make the world better. Yeah. So as we, you know, we've talked a lot about a lot of things, like liberalism, I think, and, like, sex work. So I think that the most appropriate thing would be to end the episode on Cardi B's song.
Of course.
Yeah. And, like, I know, like, as we've talked about her, you know, as to facilitate a conversation of sex work and liberalism, I do want to acknowledge that, you know, she has been hurtful and she has been problematic, right? Like, she, you know, made a video where she, you know, used, you know, trans women as a trope to, you know, get back at a cheating boyfriend, right? Which has implications of, like, rape culture and trans antagonism and violence, right? That is really harmful to trans women, right? And so we're not trying to separate ourselves from that or trying to give her a pass at all. I think that when people, especially in stan culture, right, a lot of times people want to separate themselves from the problematic parts of their faves, right? But that's not useful for anyone. Like, what is the use of separating yourself from media that is problematic, but that you actually enjoy, right, in private? And, like, that's not transparency. That's not, you know, functional. It doesn't do anything. And a lot of the times, like, people trying to just... And also, the other side of that coin is people trying to, like, defend their faves, right? They've never been problematic, right? And I was definitely that person when it came to Azealia Banks, right? I think that was, like, my battlefield, like, my learning curve is, like, I used to defend Azealia Banks from literally everything. Like, everything. Were you ever an Azealia Banks fan?
I love 212. I think that song still goes hard. And I listen to it a lot. But that was the only... She's a hot mess. There was, like, times where I was reading her Twitter and I'd be nodding my head like, yeah. And then she just went, like, way off. Yeah. And I'd be like, no, like, what? Like, that was literally, like, and this was, like, when she first, like, you know, started with, when she came out with 212. Yeah, so, but I wasn't, like, a big, there was just a lot of conversations about Azealia Banks that was always on my Twitter, and I was just, I would just read it. I was just never a part of it, because it was just, it was a lot. Like, there was people that would stan her, and there was people that were like, fuck her, and I was like, I like that song, that's all I know.
I used to be a stan. Like, I used to defend everything she said until I was like, realized that, like, media consumption, like, really doesn't, like, reflect your, like, identity, right? Like, you can like problematic things and accept that and confront that, right? A lot of the times people don't want to confront the problematic things because they want to feel guilty about enjoying media, right? And so people have to, like, really figure out where that line is for them. And for me, it's, like, abuse. Like, if like, I'm never going to support R. Kelly, Woody Allen, and those type of abusive figures, right? But if somebody has been problematic and has apologized for it, right? Like Cardi B, right? She did all these horrible things and then she apologized for it. I can make that decision for myself, not for everyone else. I will never force anyone to be like, oh, forgive her. Like, no, that's not the wave, right? So I can forgive her for myself and, like, enjoy her media, like, knowing that this is part of her history, right? And so I love pop culture, and that's something that, like, I had to unpack for myself as a lover of pop culture, right?
Yeah, I love pop culture, too. And I hate people that every time I, like, to share something pop culture related, people are like, why are you sharing this? This isn't news. You need to talk about politics 24/7. Like, I'm like, it still relates to politics. Like, and even if it wasn't, like, we go back to, like, why do we have to talk about certain things all the damn time? And, like, not have, like, fun and joy? Because that's not my idea of liberation. So, anyway. Yeah. What song are you going to play?
I chose Bickenhead, which is about nasty hoes and just, like, having and popping it, right?
Okay.
I hope you enjoy this song, Cardi B's Bickenhead. I hope you follow us on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, and soon our website. Also, that reminds me that we mentioned earlier how, you know, somebody didn't understand our sarcasm. So we are going to post up transcriptions to the episode soon. We have someone who is working on them, right? Because we don't have that capacity to do that. And what will happen in these transcriptions is that they'll outline when something is being sarcastic and something is being humorous. So that, you know, if you didn't catch something, because I know that there's certain people, right, because of, you know, different abilities, right, and disabilities, that, you know, they can't always catch sarcasm. So these things will help us outline things more clearly. And, yeah, follow us on all social media. If you think we're funny enough or, like, entertaining enough to come to your school and chat, book us at bitterbrownfams@gmail.com. So, okay, so thank you for tuning in again, and we hope to see you next time.
Bye. Bye. For my nasty hoes, yeah. Come across the globe. For my nasty hoes, yeah. Come across the globe. Look, now I say luxury apartment. Wow. I'm young and I'm Harley. Yeah. There's a vision in my vision. That bitch is a target. Lawyer is a Jew. He gon' chew up all the charges. No matter if you fuck with me, I get money regardless. That guap guap, get some chicken. Guap guap, get some bread. Guap guap, get some chicken. Guap guap, get some bread. Bitch, press. You can flex. Get some money, ho. Tell me why you stress. Now I said, hold down, G's up. You know how I'm rocking, but my watch is freezed up. I can't wait until they jump that Lamborghini truck. I'm careful where I park it, hoes will have it beat up. Them bitches getting beat up. Slim waist, ass fat. My shit is caked up. My bad bitch, activate without no makeup. That collard greens, cornbread, neck bone, back fat. Get it from my mama, and you don't know where your daddy at. Knick knack, daddy whack, give a dog a bone. Your nigga never coming home. I'm a flex like a boy. I'm a 10, she a joy. Stupid hoe, unimportant, unattractive, unemployed. Get some guap guap, get some chicken. Guap guap, get some bread. Guap guap, get some chicken. Guap guap, get some bread. Bitch, you press. You can flex. Get some money, hoe. Tell me why you stress. I need that green shorty. Show me where it's at. You play with me, I might pop up where you at. You make believe, now with me it's only facts. Pop that pussy in a wrap. Pop that pussy like popping pussy is going out of style. Pop that pussy while you work. Pop that pussy up in church. Pop that pussy on the pole. Pop that pussy on the stove. Make that pussy slip and slide like you from the 305. Put your tongue out in the mirror. Pop that pussy while you drive. Spread them ass cheeks open. Make that pussy crack a smile. Like your legs around that nigga. Make him give your ass a child. Give some neck, give me a check. Piss so good, make a nigga invest. Give me a spit, I'm getting it wet. I get it back up, just give me a sec. Give me some. I'm getting a bag, give me some ass, I'm getting some rap. When I'm done, I make them come, but they keep coming off that cash. Get you some guap guap, get some chicken, guap guap, get some bread, guap guap, get some chicken, guap guap.